The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you,
O Lord. Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" But Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." But Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Have we met? Do I know you? Where did you get to know me? When we meet one another, we naturally gravitate to the people we already know. It takes effort to get to know someone new and even more effort to build a friendship. Furthermore, if someone acts like they know us when we're pretty sure they don't, that can be super weird. In kindness and with civility, we may respond with something like, "Have we met? Do I know you? Remind me of your name. Where did you get to know me?" Hoping, of course, that our memory will be jogged. The pandemic has made matters much, much worse. We are alone, distanced, isolated, and may often feel left out, not thought of, unknown, and separated, even from those who already are our friends. Late in the spring of last year, a well-known conference for preachers that normally attracts 7,000 preachers from across the world went online, and the normal registration fees were waived. This was a huge opportunity for me, and I registered as fast as I could. I did that not only because I was interested in the topic, but more importantly because I know a lot of preachers. I've been meeting them for 25 years. Now we are spread out all across North America and even the world, and I was so grateful for this platform that could connect us in a way that hadn't been available before. I wanted to chat, Zoom, catch up, and reconnect during this week of scheduled online programming. To me, it seemed like a pandemic opportunity. When I was in the conference, I could see all the names of all the participants, of which there were a little over 1,000, and I could search amongst them for people I knew. So I did. I looked for every person I could think of, person by person, name by name, day after day, but I found no one that I knew. I witnessed other people, old friends chatting with one another, talking via video in social gathering rooms, planning to meet one another elsewhere, but I was always on the outside. I was alone. And the conference, while interesting, left me longing for my friends. Life itself is like that. We long to find those we know. Our shared histories working something like a sort of temporal glue that binds us to one another and enables laughter, joy, and the experience of picking up right where we left off, even if we haven't seen one another for years. But how is it when we're approached by someone we don't know who claims to know us? It seems to me to be full of questions and an off-putting kind of wonder that's not exactly welcome. Have we met? Do I know you? And of course, in the back of my mind, did I forget? Those may be the same questions we ask of someone we just met, hoping that they might serve as sort of an entree to interesting conversation, or maybe even the start of a new friendship. My week in the preaching course was full of that. And that is exhausting business, especially when you overhear the familiar banter of people who actually are friends. I did it for a little while until I became exhausted and I finally gave up. Because, see, I want to be seen and known and held in esteem by friends. I want that familiar banter and that temporal glue of shared experience. I want familiarity itself. I want to be seen in a world where I am largely unseen. And I want to be recognized and welcomed immediately. I want someone to run to me because they know me. I frequently get depressed by the magnitude of things. Earlier this week, in an art class I'm taking, the instructor started sharing about the AIDS memorial quilt. It commemorates 94,000 of the 1.7 million lives lost to AIDS worldwide, a vast unseen sea of people who have suffered and died. The quilt is estimated to weigh 54 tons. But it represents only 3% of the people who have lost their lives due to the AIDS epidemic. And it is an attempt to make something unseen seen. Most of the people who have died will remain unseen and unknown to me, if not to all of us. They occur like numbers in a sea of numbers. And these kinds of numbers and realities are overwhelming to me. But as we zoom in on this quilt, we can see that the squares contain pictures, illustrations, names, dates, and remembrances. Each one represents a real person loved by real people. It is now possible to search this quilt virtually. The whole thing has been documented and put online. And when I searched this week, I did find someone I was looking for. I found this one, a corner of which is dedicated to John Kenneth Schumann, who is a close friend, mentor, and bearer of faith to Pastor Phil. He went by his middle name, and our younger son is named Paul Kenneth, after my grandfather and this Ken Schumann. When I found it, I experienced both joy and sorrow simultaneously because he was remembered and commemorated, a real person. And I felt this even though I personally had never met him. And this personal connection helps all of the unseen become seen in my own corner of the world. Each one is a real person, loved and mourned by real people, who bear their loss just as keenly as we do. We might wonder at this meeting between Nathanael and Jesus. Nathanael is a friend of a friend, and although they have never met, Jesus says he knows him. Nathanael asks, "Have we met? Do I know you? Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answers by saying, "I saw you under the fig tree." That's always Jesus' answer to us. We may think he doesn't know us, but we are not numbers to him. We are not one of 1.7 million or one of billions. He knows us. He sees us under the fig tree. He sees us in the grocery store. He sees us watching TV. He sees us reading, walking, sleeping, wondering. He sees our tears. He sees our fear. He sees our loss. He sees our joy. He sees us under our own fig tree, whatever and wherever it may be. I may feel lost in a sea of people. I may think I'm just a number, but Jesus loves like this. He created and sees the whole of the universe. He created and sees our planet Earth. He created and sees every human being who ever is or ever was. He created and sees every single person in Alberta, in our synod and otherwise. And he sees you and me. He sees us under our own fig tree, and he talks to us with a love and a friendship that has known us all our lives. He knows every hair on our heads. There's nowhere we can run from him, nowhere we can hide. He illuminates our lives and brings joy and peace. He shows the way. We may not know him, but he knows us intimately, better than our best friend. And he is the one who always runs to us. He says, "I see you." When we answer him, "Have we met? Do I know you? Where did you get to know me?" He responds by saying, "Of course we've met. I've known you from the beginning. I made you. I understand. I see you. You were mine." He sees past what's good and what's bad about us, where we've succeeded and where we've failed. He mourns when we mourn. He loves when we love. He catches us when we fall. He's the one cheering us on, the one praying and begging us to stop beating ourselves up. And when we think we are not enough, he becomes enough for us. He never fails us, always forgives us, and has his gaze ever upon us. His love for us never ends. To read from Psalm 139. "O Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know when I sit up and when I rise. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's so high I can't attain it. Where could I go from your spirit, or where could I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. And if I make my bed in the depths, you're there too. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. And if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. For night is as bright as day, and darkness is as light. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance, and in your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed." He sees you there under your fig tree, and he will never hide himself from you, for he never hides from anyone who seeks his company. Amen.